live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time yet again. Happy Tuesday, April 9th, 2019 to you all. As you are rocking with another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports, well, we now know who the champion of the college basketball world is, in the world of men's hoops, that being Virginia. Shout out to the Virginia Cavaliers finishing the deal last night against Texas Tech in Minneapolis. We all thought it was going to be a snooze fest, just a low-scoring affair filled with a ton of defense. It was a game filled with some great defense, which I like because I'm a basketball purist. But, again, you got to sprinkle in some kind of offense with that, right? But this game had its fair share of offense as well. And it went to overtime. I mean, you really can't ask for a better national championship game. Two great teams going at it, goes to overtime, everything on the line, and Virginia comes out with the win. So, first of all, congratulations to Tony Bennett, head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers, and quite the 360, right? We all know what happened last year. It was well documented because it was the first time that it ever happened in the world of the NCAA tournament. First time ever last season that we saw a number one seed get beat in the first round at the hands of a 16 seed. UMBC beating the Cavaliers. Heck, Kyle Guy, who was huge in this year's tournament, Kyle Guy was getting death threats after that game. So from that moment to what we saw last night, the only time in sports history that we've seen it, because never. And we won't see it again because Virginia was the first team, unfortunately, to have to go through that, becoming a number one seed to lose to a 16 seed and to have this kind of redemption story the very next year. Not 2 years down the road, not three, not four, not five, but the very next year you win the national championship. After that, resiliency, thy name is Virginia. So we'll break down what happened last night, but I want to put into context because, again, I don't think the grieving's over. You know, despite what our caller, our dear friend, Kurt from Grand Ledge stated, and thank you for those that weighed into yesterday's Current Sports. That was more like a, you know, I like to call those therapy session shows. Whenever your heart is really broken, Spartan fans, you know, after a big loss, you know, we use that next Current Sports show for you to just to get everything off your chest. So we had many of you weigh in yesterday, and Kurt from Grand Ledge said, you know, Al, well, you know, after Saturday, you know, it definitely hurt that night. And then, you know, Sunday it took some time. But Monday I'm feeling good. You know, hey, it is what it is. We overachieved. It was a great season. But I don't think that's what the majority of Spartan fans are feeling because it's so fresh. I think eventually you'll get to that point, especially for those that did sit down and watch the national championship game, because I'm sure many Spartan fans just didn't. I mean, your team is not in it. You come a game short of dancing on Monday night. You know, why do you want to watch two other teams go at it, right? Heck, you missed out on that date. You know, it's like missing out on the girl that you're just so close to making official, and then something crazy happens, and I don't know, another guy takes her to prom. I don't know. That's what it feels like, right? Because you felt like you should have been there. So I did watch it. I didn't tune in, though, until the second half. And there were some thoughts that crossed my mind as it relates to Michigan State men's basketball. Some points, some final points I want to make. And I'm not alone in this thinking, because as I was watching the second half, I mean, I was getting a few direct messages on social media. I got a few texts that I'll address. You don't want to miss that conversation, all right? Also, we're going to usher in a little baseball talk on today's Current Sports, as we will welcome Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. The Lugnuts are underway. The season is underway, and the weather is getting better outside. You know, yesterday was absolutely beautiful here in mid-Michigan, reaching, you know, to like the mid to upper 60s. Today is much of the same. The sun is out. No clouds in the sky. Just a beautiful day. And that means that baseball is here. Spring is here. Baseball is here. And Jesse Goldberg-Strassler will join us on the show to talk about the Lansing Lugnuts, talk about the Luggies' new manager for the season. Also, you know, this partnership now at Cooley Law School Stadium between the Lansing Lugnuts and Lansing Ignite is very, very cool, and something that I'm sure is going to draw more people downtown Lansing. So we'll talk about that partnership as well with Jesse. Don't miss that. And then to close the hour, I will talk about my beloved Detroit Pistons and a must-win game tonight. I'll tell you more about that later on this hour. And again, we'll give you the details of that right now, actually, as a part of our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Right, and we start with news that I saw this morning. Lansing Ignite forward Ricky Lopez Espin has been handed a 4-match ban and an undisclosed fine for what appears to be anti-gay comments made to fans during the USL League One's team's 2-1 loss at Greenville, South Carolina, this past weekend on Saturday. Now, it's unclear when the interaction occurred or what exactly was said, but Lopez Espin scored the Ignite's lone goal in the 27th minute during the club's first defeat in the new third-tier league. His actions drew a sharp rebuke from the club's owner and an apology from the player himself. This is what Lopez Espin wrote in a Twitter post. Quote, "I want to truly apologize for my actions in Greenville, specifically to those in the LGBTQ community. This is not who I am and what I stand for. There is no excuse for the language that I used and have accepted the 4-match ban and fine for my actions." Okay, as I just noted, a year after exiting the court as a pitcher of embarrassment, the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed in the men's NCAA tournament, Virginia has turned things around in a big way, winning the national championship last night. The Cavaliers defeated Texas Tech 85-77 in overtime for the university's first national basketball championship, which carried with it immeasurable redemption. The title game was the first in 40 years between men's teams that had never been there before. The last one, well, that famed showdown in which Magic Johnson's Michigan State Spartans beat Larry Bird and Indiana State in Salt Lake City. All right, UCLA is, well, actually, this news broke. You know, I can give an update on this story. You know, when I was prepping the headliners early this morning, and I was going to tell you about how Rick Barnes turned down, an offer from UCLA to go and coach the men's basketball program there.
But it looks as though, you know, this news is pretty fresh. UCLA has found its man. So 100 days since UCLA fired Steve Alford, the Bruins have hired Mick Cronin, who led the Cincinnati Bearcats to 9 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. He has agreed to a 6-year, $24 million contract with UCLA. So many people turned down that job offer. Again, coaching the UCLA men's basketball program. But Mick Cronin is now the head man in charge. So they tried to go after Kentucky's John Calipari, TCU's Jamie Dixon. Remember, and then Kentucky's like, oh, no, we're going to give you, Coach Cal, a lifetime contract. No, 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 don't bring that mess over here, UCLA. So there you have that. All right, if you're a Pistons fan like me, tonight's game against the Memphis Grizzlies is one you don't want to miss, and you'll be pretty nervous watching that game. The Pistons only have 2 games left, and tonight's game is set to tip off at 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. And the one tomorrow against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden will be an 8 p.m. tip time. The Pistons currently on a 2-game losing streak and will need to get their gears rolling if they want to make it to the postseason. On paper, the Pistons should have a good opportunity to make it in because the Grizzlies and the Knicks have a combined win percentage of just .300. Pretty bad. 30%, folks. However, time will tell because the Pistons have really been mucking this whole thing up in the final weeks here of the season. So it's go time. And the Pistons really need to shift it in gear tonight. I will be watching. Some more NBA news concerning a former Michigan State men's basketball player, former Spartan Deontay Davis. He signed a multi-year contract with the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. This comes after he signed a pair of 10-day contracts with the Hawks and appearing in 8 games for them this season. He is averaging 4.3 points, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes per game for the Hawks. He seems to have found his footing, shooting 68% from the field. So, as we all know, Davis left for the NBA after his freshman year at Michigan State University, struggled to find his footing with the Grizzlies. He played 2 seasons for them, played 98 regular season games, including 6 starts. He averaged 4.3 points, 3 rebounds in 12 minutes of action. Then he got traded to the Sacramento Kings in July of last year, was waived in September of last year. 3 weeks later, he signed with the Golden State Warriors before being released and assigned to the team's G League affiliate, the Santa Cruz Warriors. With them, he started 43 games and averaged 9.7 points and 7.5 rebounds. I didn't even know that. I had no idea that the Golden State Warriors picked him up for a brief stint. So, all right. The Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Indians meet today in a matchup of AL Central teams. The 6-3 Indians are coming off a 4-game sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays, while the 7-3 Tigers have won 5 straight games, including a sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Corey Kluber looks to turn around his early season struggles as Jordan Zimmermann looks to capitalize on his momentum to capture his first win on the young season. First pitch just underway, actually. 1:10 p.m. And yes, that one is, well, no, very early. Cleveland has already scored. It's 1-0. Indians up in the top of the first. We'll keep you updated on that match throughout the hour. Also, yesterday afternoon, Fox Sports Detroit announced that it will carry the first of its 17 players-only broadcast this season as they try to do something no baseball broadcast has ever done with as much frequency before. This is coming from FSD General Manager Greg Hammerin. Quote, "We are always trying to keep up with fresh ways to present televised baseball, interesting ways that benefit fans and players, and we thought we'd apply it to baseball, where stories and experiences really help people understand the game. The players-only broadcast will consist of only former and perhaps current players on the broadcast in order to bring fans closer to the heart of the game." If you remember, this is something that Turner Sports did, starting with basketball, having an all-player broadcast, even the play-by-play guy. is a former player. So there will not be a traditional play-by-play broadcaster calling the action, but FSD's stable of on-air talent and others will share their real-time insights into the play on the field. So guys like Jack Morris, Kirk Gibson, Craig Monroe, Dan Petrie, and special guests will be a part of those players-only shows. Really, really unique stuff. Okay, after taking time away from broadcasting to focus on his health, Matt Millen will be under the headset once again. He left the Big Ten Network in the early part of the football season last year due to acquiring a disease that really forced him to need a heart transplant to save his life. Actually, I checked out the E60 on Matt Millen this morning. If you have not seen it, riveting stuff, folks. And great job by ESPN and Jeremy Schapp of producing that piece. It'll touch you. I'll just say that, folks. So it's great to see Matt Millen returning to the booth. The former Detroit Lions GM and Penn State All-American will be returning to the broadcast booth for the Nittany Lions annual blue and white spring game this Saturday, April 13th. He will be on the air with former Lansing sports broadcaster Lisa Byington. Looking forward to that. And Johnny Manziel. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't call him Johnny Football anymore. He has announced that he's going by just John. No more Johnny.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. John. John Manziel. He announced that he changed his name. He is changing his name, or at least going by John. He made that announcement yesterday. He's trying to turn a new leaf in his life and in his career. The 26-year-old signed with the Memphis Express of the AAF. That didn't go well, though, because the AAF has folded. The league is shut down before completing a season. Manziel, he suffered a head injury in his final appearance. He enjoyed his time with the Express and said it was the most fun he's had playing football since his last game in college at Texas A&M against Duke in 2013. He joined the Express after he was released by the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL. He was subsequently barred from joining any other team in the CFL after he violated his contract. So there you have that. Don't call him Johnny Football anymore. It's just John. Just John. All right, that does it. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. You can also hop on Twitter. We all love Twitter, right? Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Already weighing in again. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. A few of you are already commenting at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And before I dive into the national championship, I do want to wish Stephanie well wishes and a quick recovery. I'm seeing here from Ben. Ben and Stephanie, they're married, and they watch just about every day. Love those two. Stephanie fell and hurt herself yesterday morning. So, Stephanie, we wish you well here at Current Sports. Get well soon, okay? All right, national championship talk. The Virginia Cavaliers are your national champions of the men's college basketball world. Also, a big shout-out to our very own Jamie Paisley, classical musical host here at WKAR. Jamie needed Virginia. We were talking about this in length yesterday in the office. He needed Virginia to win in order to take the entire enchilada, winning the WKAR bracket pool, and he did. Jamie is not a big sports fan, does not watch at all, but he was watching last night, and I know he's very, very excited. So congratulations to Jamie. But the Virginia Cavaliers, you know, I didn't, as you heard me state at the top of the hour, I did not watch the first half. I was caught up doing some other work. You know, like many Spartan fans, you know, you just got this feeling that, oh, man, Michigan State's not playing. You know, and they were one game away. It would be different if Michigan State got eliminated earlier on in the tournament, right? Because now you got time to heal. National championship game is on. All right, I'll check it out. But, you know, I just had this feeling like, oh, man, you know, Michigan State coming just a game short. I'm not dying to run over to my television, turn it on, hop on the couch, and just watch this game in its entirety. So, you know, I waited until halftime, and, you know, that's when I got away from my laptop, stopped doing work, and, you know, sat on the couch with my little one, my pup, and we watched the second half. And I'm sure this is when it really set in for me. Again, it shows you myself, along with many of you out there, still not over this. Still not over this. Because it's so fresh. It's so fresh. It's just Tuesday. You know, that game against Texas Tech was Saturday. Because I'm watching the game, and I just could not help but think to myself, looking at how well Virginia played throughout most of that game, with the exception of what the last 5 minutes, you know, Texas Tech began to really trim the lead down and showed a ton of resiliency. And you really saw, you know, that game going to overtime, you really saw why this Texas Tech team is so hard to beat. You see why they got there to a national championship. But that aside, when looking at that game, I'm sure many of you were saying, gosh, Michigan State had their opportunities. No, it's not like, don't get me wrong, I went on record to say this. That Texas Tech defense is one of the best defenses in basketball that I've seen in the last 10 to 15 years. They are pesky. They swarm you. They are downright annoying. But with that being said, and you saw Virginia execute brilliantly multiple times throughout this game last night, they will still give you opportunities to score. They will still give you open looks. And when you have those opportunities, you got to capitalize on them. You really do. You know, looking at that game last night, I said to myself, wow, Virginia is just, you know, Kyle Guy. Kyle Guy was amazing in that game. And he has been, you know, amazing throughout really the entire tournament. So that was no surprise. But, you know, when they gave Kyle Guy open looks, he knocked them down. He cruised to 24 points. DeAndre Hunter, my goodness, that kid's gone. He's going to the NBA. Many people, you know, have him actually as a top five pick come this summer in the NBA's NBA draft. But he's fantastic. DeAndre Hunter, when they gave him looks, he hit them. Also, how about Ty Jerome? Ty Jerome, when there was space between him and his defender, he was able to find the bottom of the net. 16 points for him. Those are the big three for Virginia, and they showed up. And a lot of that had to do with penetration as well, you know. Anytime, you know, we saw multiple times. I mean, Ty Jerome also, to go along with his 16 points, he also had 8 assists last night. And we saw Ty Jerome able to penetrate, and when the collapse would come, because we all know how good, Spartan fans, we saw this firsthand, we know how good that Texas Tech help defense is. When that extra man comes and it leaves, you know, a corner three open, Ty Jerome hit the man like a DeAndre Hunter, and he knocked down the big three-pointer. Multiple times that happened. And you're sitting there saying, gosh, you know, Michigan State had looks like that. Had looks like that. And when you do the math, Michigan State gets beat by 10 points against Texas Tech. Going back, and I did torture myself, and I went back and looked at the second half of that game and looked at the stats and poured through it a bit. Michigan State had a total of 4 1-and-1s in which they missed the front end of. 4 opportunities. That's 8 points just sitting there that you weren't able to get. And then the Matt McQuaid three-pointer. Well, that's 11 points just sitting there that you could have gotten. That puts you over, you know, the final score of what Texas Tech had, right? What that differential between the two teams of 10 points. And then how about Kenny Goins? We all know. I kind of bashed Kenny yesterday, even though he throughout the regular season he was great. And he's been a great role player for the team throughout the season. And then the big Duke shot, right? But Goins throwing up a donut in the scoring column. 0 points for Kenny Goins. Just can't happen. 0 for 4 from the floor, and all four of his shots were three-pointers. Michigan State hits their, you know, it's one and ones. You know, Matt McQuaid hits that three-pointer, and if Kenny Goins just gives you one of those 4 3-point attempts, Michigan State would have been dancing. But you got to execute. You got to execute, and you had to take advantage of those opportunities. Virginia certainly did, and hats off to them. Got to respect Virginia and what they've been able to do, especially looking back at last year. You know, that was like the storyline, right, that the broadcasters really started to harp on. You know, they even gave you a flashback of the tears coming from the Virginia Cavaliers players after that game, tears everywhere. You know, no one wanted to become the first team, the first number one seed to lose to a 16 seed and then to turn it around in the following year. And Tony Bennett got criticized. You know, some people out there, Virginia fans, were calling for his job. You know, I mentioned Kyle Guy, a young man, a young kid, getting death threats. Yeah, it was that serious. It was that serious. And for them to turn it around the way they've done, you know, shout out to Tony Bennett. It's pretty amazing. And when you look at the takeaways, you know, from this game, for me, you know, you have two defensive powerhouses in the world of college hoops. But what amazes me the most, more than that, for Virginia, is just how efficient they are. You know, they will slow the game down. You know, they're not a fast break team. They slow the game down. They play hard nosed defense. They get physical with you. That's what they do. And again, when given opportunities, they take advantage of them. They're not going to squander anything. And they took what Texas Tech gave them and ended up pulling out the win, even though it took overtime to do so. So really cool watching Tony Bennett up at the podium, and you know they gave him the final sticker to put Virginia in the national championship game. Jim Nance up there, along with the NCAA president, you know, commenting and then giving Virginia the trophy, and then of course the ladder comes out, and then they're cutting down the nets. And then there was a moment I didn't know this. Head coach of the Clemson football team, Dabo Swinney. He actually shot Tony Bennett a text, I believe, before the game last night. And Tony Bennett shared this nugget of wisdom that he got from head coach Dabo Swinney. Quote, I got a text from Dabo Swinney who said, let the light that shines in you be brighter than the light that shines on you. That's awesome. And there's multiple interpretations that you can have from that quote, but I think I know what it's saying. And, you know, Bennett was asked about, you know, Kyle Guy. He was named, by the way, the most outstanding player of the Final Four. And Guy went on to say, quote, I love that quote. I don't know where it was, but I thought it was so good, and I shared it with my guys, and Guy has something. Well, this is Bennett talking, actually. And Guy has something in big games and makes big plays. That's it. He just has it in him. So that's awesome stuff. 24 points, again, 8 for 15 shooting for Guy. And he was great. And again, you need a little luck. You need the ball to bounce your way more times than none, right? If you want to win a national championship, that's just how it goes because it's so tough to get through the gauntlet that is the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I can flash back to the Purdue game, and I actually tweeted, I thought that game was done. Thought it was over. I tweeted, Purdue, welcome to the hashtag Final Four. Yeah. We know how that one turned out, right? That one goes to an extra session as well. Also, you know, and Jack Kerwin and I, we were there. We were watching it on screen. And I did not see this. I don't think you saw it either, Jack, because the broadcasters didn't even bring it up until late. You know, I think Gene Steratore had to bring it up. That final play between Auburn, you know, that final sequence, I should say, where, you know, I believe it's Guy who's bringing the ball up the court. And, you know, he tries to go behind his back. The ball hits his foot, rolls a bit, and he picks it back up. That should have been a double dribble call. That's before what I thought was the right call by the referees. That's before the three-point shot by Guy in which he went to the line to shoot three free throws and iced it. And props to Kyle Guy. Clutch. Absolutely clutch, right? But, you know, looking back at it, I didn't see that until, like, the next day, that night when I got home on my laptop. And, you know, I was debating with this with Brad Walker yesterday, our very own Brad Walker here at WKAR, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, yeah, that's definitely a missed call. That's definitely a double dribble. But isn't that also, too, a kickball? Because it hit his sneaker. It hit the back of his heel of his sneaker. I'm like, you could call a kickball there as well. So there's two ways you could go with that, but the referees did not blow the whistle at all. So again, you need a little luck. You need a few things to go your way in order to get to that national championship game, let alone win the whole thing. So real quick, can we turn Jack's mic on? Jack is in studio. And Jack, thank you, by the way. Again, I gave you a shout out yesterday for your outstanding help out in Minneapolis, but we didn't see that. When that happened in real time, we didn't have any conversation about a double dribble at the time, right? And we were talking about the foul on the three-point shot and whether or not it was a foul. But, and that shows you it's so tough to make a call like that in that kind of a moment. But when you are a referee in the Final Four, darn it, that's your job. And you can't miss stuff like that. So, hey, it happened. It's done. Virginia's your national champion.
Well, here's the thing, though. I saw it on Twitter later that night, but you're right. In real time, I didn't see that it was a double dribble.
Bill Rafferty, Grant Hill, and Jim Nance all missed it as
Yeah.
well.
So. But if you go back and watch the play, right before the double dribble, I would argue that the Virginia player was fouled. It was a reach-in.
They let that
go as well. So, to me, I guess it's kind of a wash.
In a way, because I look at that, and that's what Brad brought up as well. Well, he's got his hand on his chest, and he bumped it. Yeah, but that's... that's so minuscule. I'm not letting a foul like that, a quote-unquote foul like that, decide, you know, who goes to the national championship game. But, you know, you look back at that and you just say to yourself, how do you miss that, though? A double dribble is usually pretty easy to call, but yet most of America missed it in real time. But when you're a referee on that kind of a stage, you got to look at everything. And, but, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, and it was such a tough – you don't see him hit – the defender hit the chest of Guy until you see the second angle. And I think the referee had a bad – but you also had that other ref on the other side of the court that maybe could have called it. But, you know, it could go either way. And I thought they did get the call right, though, on the three-pointer. You can't do that. You're going to call that 10 times out of 10.
Yep.
You can't impede the player in the air. You got to allow that player to come down after shooting that shot. So – it is what it is. But again, I just can't help but think to myself when I was watching that game last night, if Michigan State just executed, hit free throws, hit open shots, the Spartans could have been right there.
Absolutely.
Facing a team in which they absolutely own when it comes to Virginia. So, all right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show. We'll talk some baseball with our dear friend, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, also, I want to give a big shout-out to, you know, the moment that I always look forward to, no matter who's playing in the national championship game. One shining moment, the famed NCAA tournament championship song that's played right after the dust settles on the championship game. That was actually a song written by a Michigander, by the way, if you didn't know. But, you know, the Luther Vandross version is the best version. That's the one that they play every single year. And it's just always bittersweet to watch that, right? Because then it settles in that college basketball is gone. It's done. It's finito. Definitely going to miss it. When it comes to Michigan State, Michigan State was featured a few times. They show the Matt McQuaid, like Michael Jordan-esque, layup in which, you know, he spun in the air and clapped it off his hands behind his head and it goes in. They also showed Tom Izzo celebrating with the Spartans in the locker room. That was another snippet. They of course show just a highlight of the Texas Tech and Michigan State game. I think it was just like a jump shot on Matt McQuaid kind of stumbling. And then they show after that game, Cassius Winston embracing Matt McQuaid. So if I pinpointed all of those moments correctly, I believe that's everything. That's all they showed of Michigan State, which that's pretty good. Not bad. I feel like every year Spartan fans are never happy because they feel like it should just be an entire montage of Michigan State. But no, that's not what it's about. You got 64 teams, 68 total if you include, again, the first four games. But, you know, you got 64 teams and a lot of moments to choose from. So that's pretty good for Michigan State, a Michigan State team that made it to the Final Four. So, college basketball in the books, and you're trying to figure out, all right, you know, what do I tune into now as a sports fan? Well, I'm sure many of you sports fans are ready for some baseball. The weather outside is getting nicer and nicer by the day, it seems. You know, I even took a walk yesterday, walked the dog yesterday. It was 66 degrees. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. Another beautiful day here in mid-Michigan as well. And again, that means that baseball is here. And right now, I want to invite our guest for today's Current Sports to the show. He's a dear friend, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Jesse, welcome to Current Sports. And Jesse, what year is this now for you, my man?
Al, this is my 11th season with the Lansing Lugnuts.
Your 11th season with the Luggies. How does that feel? That is awesome, man.
Feels good. I mean, this is, for the Lansing Lugnuts, their 24th season in the Midwest League. And so the feeling is, boy, if I keep at it, I'll be out here for a full 50% of the team's history.
That's pretty remarkable. It really is. And, you do an outstanding job rocking the mic for the Luggies. Always love listening to you driving around here in the area. And I want to start here, Jesse, when it comes to the Lansing Lugnuts. You all have a new manager in Dallas McPherson. Before we give his background and you elaborate on, you know, how, you know, the players have really taken it to when it comes to his leadership for the team, I want to know, where is Cesar Martin, who I believe was with the team for two seasons? Is that correct?
That is correct, and he's moved up with his players from last year. He's now up with A Advanced Dunedin.
That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. And that's what, you know, that's what the minors are all about. You know, you want to see growth and promotion in all areas when it comes to your coaches, when it comes to the players, of course. So we wish Cesar Martin well. So can you tell us a bit about McPherson's journey to Lansing, Jesse?
Yeah, Dallas McPherson, you go back to 2004, he was the Minor League Baseball Player of the Year. He was a big-time prospect coming up with the Angels as a power-hitting third baseman. And Dallas, after playing in the major leagues, playing in the minor leagues, he retired. He went back home to North Carolina where he was coaching. And from there, he was approached, hey, would you like to get involved with the Blue Jays organization? It was high school players he had coached, had gone on, I believe it was, to Wofford. And through that connection, somehow it brought him to the Blue Jays' Gil Kim. He was brought into the system last year. He managed the Vancouver Canadians last year, the level below the Lugnuts. And so that means he has many of his same players. Now this year, his second season in the system, his first year in Lansing.
That is awesome stuff. And, you know, I was reading a profile written by the great Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal, and he talked about how McPherson initially got into coaching, and you know, he just happened to become the baseball head coach at Kings Ridge Christian School out in Georgia. He gave it a shot, and he led the program to a 76-19 mark and a state championship. That's pretty awesome.
He has such an interesting manner about himself because he's so big, it's very easy for him to be intimidating. And yet he knows when to switch that side off and become really fun. And so there's nobody who doesn't respect him. He commands authority, but at the same time, you enjoy being around him and you enjoy playing for him. So I understand he immediately enjoyed coaching, and now he is helping professional players grow on their way to the major leagues.
That is great that he has that balance, Jesse, because, you know, some coaches are either or, and it's hard to have that balance as a coach. So that is fantastic stuff. So how have the players, you know, taken to McPherson since training camp and now into the early stages of the season for you guys?
Guys love him. This is a team that's very smart, that's very loose. It's a really fun clubhouse that's getting ready for every single game. They understand that they're here to learn. It's great for the team to come up with some wins in the early going, but all of them believe that as the season goes on, they're going to get better and better.
Definitely. That's awesome stuff. And Jesse, you know, minor league baseball, as you know, the point that I just made, you know, turnover isn't a bad thing whatsoever. So I'm wondering how much turnover do you guys have from last year's team to now this season?
We currently have 27 players with us, 25 active players. Of those players, we have two returning. We have the catcher, Ryan Gold, who's now also playing some time at first base and batting in the middle part of our order. And we have the leadoff hitter, Reggie Pruitt, our starting center fielder, who's currently tied for the league lead in steals. That's it, two guys, and both of them have said at the tender age of 21 that they are the team leaders in the clubhouse.
Wow, again, see, it's not a bad thing because that means that, again, you know, you want to see the players with the Lansing Lugnuts organization who are working hard, trying to get, you know, maybe a shot at the majors or to work their way up the ranks, right? That's the kind of stuff you want to see. So that is a good sign. Jesse, can you throw out a few big names that fans can look forward to checking out this season?
Yes. For us, you have to begin with our shortstop, Jordan Groshans. Is the 12th overall draft pick last year, 2018, high school slugger out of Texas. Big guy, 6'3", and all he does up there is just put together professional at-bats. Youngest guy on the team, and yet he's been exceptional batting in the middle part of our order. He's the top prospect. But then batting right behind him is a catcher, Alejandro Kirk, who's 20 years of age, out of Tawana. And I'm telling you, Kirk is 5'9", 220. You look at him, you say, all right, let's see what he is. He mashes. And as a catcher defensively, he's exceptional. And from those two guys, and then the electric Otto Lopez, who plays everywhere on the diamond, gets up, makes an impact with his bat, had a game-tying two-run homer the other day, and he's tied with Pruitt for the league lead in steals. It's really an offense that threatens in a lot of different ways.
Definitely. That is awesome stuff. And you speak about the young year again. You guys are only just a few games into the season. You started off with two games at Fort Wayne, and then you had two at home. And I saw that you guys split against Fort Wayne and then you beat West Michigan yesterday, right, Jesse?
That's right. Yep. We alternated wins with Fort Wayne. They won, we won, they won, we won. And then yesterday we wrapped it up in an hour and 54 minutes to beat the Whitecaps 1-0.
Wow. That's record time. I mean, what were you guys playing with? Three innings? My goodness, Jesse. Sheesh.
The first three innings took 30 minutes. It took an hour to play five. And suddenly we looked up and we're going, we're going to finish this one nice and early. We're all going to have a chance to watch the national championship. Except national championship was still an hour and a half away. We wrapped up at 8:01.
That is unheard of in the world of baseball, Jesse. That's pretty awesome stuff. And now, again, you guys return to Cooley Law School Stadium and you open up a series starting tonight against, that first game was against West Michigan yesterday, of course. So you continue that series tonight at 6:05 p.m. And it's also $2 Taco Tuesday, right, Jesse?
That is right. You know, we've never done this before, but you think about restaurants where you just say, what's on the menu each day of the week? Let's see if we want to go. And we're saying, you want tacos on a Tuesday, you come out, you enjoy them here at the ballpark. $2 tacos every single Tuesday home game and cheer on the Lugnuts against the Whitecaps.
You can't beat that. Baseball and $2 tacos downtown Lansing at Cooley Law School Stadium. That's awesome stuff. And it's a beautiful day for baseball, too, folks. Okay, for you, Jesse, before we get you out of here, I want to know, what is the preparation like for you before the season begins? Because I know you get uber busy.
Just a little bit, especially because I'm spending my off seasons now doing Central Michigan women's basketball. We got bounced by the Michigan State women and Susie Merchant in a classic in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah.
And I also flew down to spring training to call a Blue Jays major league game against the Detroit Tigers of all teams, which was great. Plus, it's figure out who our players are going to be, write magazine articles, get everything ready to go. And then when the players come in, it becomes the whirlwind. So now, about a week into the season, things start to settle into a rhythm, and I can take a deep breath and say, all right, we're just going to play every day from here on out through September. I can deal with that.
Exactly. And that had to be pretty cool. I mean, going down to call that Blue Jays and Tigers game, what was that like, Jesse?
That was amazing. I was a little worried about being overwhelmed at first because I'm going, how am I going to prepare for all of the players who take part in a spring training game for each team? They're inserting players here, players there. But, you know, I already know who all the Lugnuts are. I know who all the former West Michigan Whitecaps are wearing their Detroit Tigers jerseys. And after that, it was all about having fun and enjoying the game. It was a great experience.
I'm sure it was. And you know, I want to touch on this, Jesse, because, you know, the duality of having the Lugnuts and now Lansing Ignite at Cooley Law School Stadium, what has that partnership been like thus far? Because I can just imagine what it's going to be like this summer. You know, fans, I believe it's just going to drive more traffic and more excitement to Cooley Law School Stadium and to downtown Lansing as a whole.
It's a fascinating balance at work because, for example, our press box, it's going to be dominated by the Lugnuts people for a baseball game. We'll take over the broadcast booths. And when we leave, as we're going to be leaving after this Thursday, and then the Ignite will play their home opener here on Saturday, it will be all Lansing Ignite and USL League One. So it very much is about sharing the same space, yielding to the other, and supporting everybody else. I'm a huge soccer fan, so you better believe that I'll be cheering on Lansing Ignite to a championship. But it's fun. We go on the road. They play here at home. They go on the road. We play here at home. So we're kind of roommates who don't spend too much time together. We're just sharing the same place.
That is very true. And I'm sure the groundskeeper at Cooley Law School Stadium has to be the busiest brother in Lansing. I mean, how is that balancing act, trying to get the field ready for minor league soccer, and then you guys hit the field, and then, you know, just the constant changing of the field has to be overwhelming to a degree, right?
Well, I can say that Zach Severns is the reigning Midwest League groundskeeper of the year, so he's ready for the task. But it's going to be a task to get the field up to baseball standards, to get the field up to Lansing Ignite standards. We want to make sure that we've got one of the best playing surfaces, and I guess I should say when it comes to Ignite, the pitch should be in the best condition possible. So, yes, it's going to be a challenge for him, and this is our first season doing it, yet I believe in him. It's going to take work over the course of the entire summer, but over the course of time, as that conversion becomes more and more regular, it's going to be really fun to watch the field turn over, baseball to soccer and back again.
Yeah, and I think this is a win-win for both teams, both organizations, Jesse. And I'm pretty sure you're excited to see, you have to be, if both programs can create some buzz for one another, right?
Oh, yeah, especially because with the Lugnuts, we know that these are Blue Jays players, so we're rooting them on to the major leagues. We've got all of our entertainment that we're doing, too, but they aren't really our guys. It's just exciting for us to see which talent passes through each year. Lansing Ignite, these are the Ignite guys. They're under Ignite contract, and they are here to win. So the feel for a baseball game is going to be your nice, leisurely atmosphere that you're used to. The feel for an Ignite game is going to be fired up. The folks are going to be pouring in and screaming them onward to victory. That in of itself is going to make for two entirely different game days.
That is very true. The demeanor when you compare both fan bases, that is a very good point, Jesse. Okay. And last but not least, and you just, of course, touched on, you know, the new idea tonight, you know, $2 Taco Tuesdays. But I'm wondering what new and different ideas, you know, coupled with, you know, tonight's $2 Taco Tuesdays, can people expect this season at the ballpark at a Lansing Lugnuts baseball game?
Well, Mondays are Dollar Mondays now with our $1 hot dogs, ice cream sandwiches, popcorn, Miller High Life, and fountain drinks. Wednesdays are now dog days of summer. That's when you bring your dogs out to the ballpark to go along with the $2 Taco Tuesdays. And then Thursdays are the Bat Blue Thirsty Thursdays with $1, $2, $3 draft beer, and $3 wine specials. That's just our weekly specials before we even get into Last Few Fireworks seasons, Fridays and Saturdays. What I'm excited about are those interesting individual nights. Backyard baseball night returning, for example, with a bobblehead, and the tribute to Burt Reynolds night. We're doing a purge night where a random half inning, everything is free. All the fruit is free.
What?
Make a rush on all of the different food items. That's coming up next homestand. That's going to be wild. And more, all of these different ideas that we're saying, hey, we know it's a baseball season in terms of you look at the schedule. Are the Lugnuts home? Yeah, they're home these 4 days in a row. What can we do to make sure that each night is separated, each night is special? And when you say, I'm coming out to the ballpark, it's for a specific reason in addition to going nuts.
That is awesome, especially purge night. Oh, my goodness. This is a safe, not like the movie, a safe purge night at Cool.
It's safe.
That's awesome. I'm curious, too, because, you know, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan. And, of course, Game of Thrones, the final season premieres this weekend. Are you guys having another Game of Thrones day at the ballpark? I'm curious.
No, unfortunately. We did that great Game of Thrones night last year with Noah Syndergaard. This year we've tilted it toward Oregon Trail Night and a Daniel Norris bearded, like, pioneer bobblehead of sorts. That's going to be very fun.
That's awesome stuff. It's always a fun time at Cooley Law School Stadium. Jesse, thank you so much for your time, my man. I'll see you soon.
Al, thank you.
Again, Jesse Goldberg, Strassler, play-by-play voice for the Lansing Lugnuts. Alec Rio, behind the glass, engineer of today's current sports. Alec, purge night sounds absolutely awesome. Everything free for a half inning? Wow. Just go and just grab everything, right? That's pretty cool stuff. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's current sports. I'll briefly touch on the Detroit Pistons tonight. Definitely a must win. Can the Pistons make the playoffs? That's the money question, right? That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's current sports. We have, 5 minutes left here. And real quick score update. Cleveland is beating Detroit 3-1, top of the third. So Tigers in an early hole against the Cleveland Indians. Real quick, I think we have a new caller. Is it Bert from Lansing on line one? Is it Bert? Bruce, that's why you always write it in there, fellas. Always write it in there for me. Just say, Al, read the document. Bruce, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Bruce?
Good. I tell you what, when I was watching that Auburn-Virginia game and that double dribble occurred, now, I don't know why nobody saw it. I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, and I'm not even rooting for either team. And it's like, I don't know how the announcers, you're right, the announcers didn't say anything, and it wasn't until Gene Steratore came on later and said it was obvious double dribble. I'm going, well, duh. I'm sitting there rewinding my DVR, looking at it over and over again, and I don't know how the refs could miss that. You know, if that had happened to Michigan State, you weren't around then, but back in, I think it was 85 in the Scott Skiles game against Kansas, the clock stops for 14 seconds as Michigan State's trying to run out the clock, and they couldn't correct it back then.
Oh, no.
And to me, that was just as egregious. I mean, I still have nightmares about that Skiles game.
Right.
And if that had happened to us, we'd have been gone nuts.
Well, I tell you what, Bruce, that's a good eye from you because, again, most of America didn't see that call. For you to notice that, props to you, man.
Well, were you watching TV?
We were. We were actually in the media room eating.
How did you miss it? We're
among, you know, some of the brightest and best in the world of media, right, at the Final Four, and none of us noticed it.
He picked it up with two hands.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
It wasn't like he palmed it. He picked it up with two hands and started dribbling again.
And again, I feel like you could call a kickball there as well because the ball hits the back of his heel, hits his sneaker.
Now, to my knowledge, And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's always been, I played some ball in high school and stuff, but it's always been my knowledge. Kickball has to be intentional.
Well, I know. I think if it happens on accident, they still call it.
You can check that.
Can we double check that? I don't know. I don't know about Jack.
I think if you make a pass and it hits somebody's foot and they didn't rule it intentional, they could not call it. Usually they do call it, but I think it's supposed to be intentional.
Well, Jack just chimed in here and said, no, he doesn't think it has to be intentional either. Okay, I don't think, it's so hard to intentionally kick the basketball. It's, usually it just hits off your foot and then you hear the whistle blow. And then, boom, kickball.
We'll have a ref on that one. But anyway,
we'll bring on Gene Steratore tomorrow, and then he'll break that down for us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was double dribble. It doesn't matter if it was a kickball or not.
Either way, it should have been Texas Tech ball. Right. Or Auburn ball, yeah. I'm with you.
And there was only like 4 seconds ago when that happened, so it would have been game over.
Exactly. So,
and it was a good call on the foul, but it shouldn't have got to that point.
I'm with you, man. That's the thing. You need a little luck. You need some things to go your way if you want to win a national championship.
That was a lot of luck.
And that was a lot.
That was egregious.
I'm with you. So with that being said, Bruce, when you look back at the Michigan State season, we only got 30 seconds left. So real quick, your thoughts now, having some time to digest everything.
Well, I said once we got to the Final Four, it's like stealing. With all the injuries and adversity we went through, I thought we totally overachieved. And I'm proud of them. It was a great season. If we'd have won, that would have just been icing on the cake.
Right. Well, I'm glad you are a man of a perspective, right? Because there are many out there who are saying, we could have been. And you could have been there. Michigan State could have.
Oh, we could have. Yeah, we could have.
But to get this far, nobody expected Final Four. Bruce, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. That's it. Tuesday's Current Sports is in the books. We'll be back at it same time, same place on the Wednesday edition of Current Sports. Don't want to miss that. We'll recap whether or not the Pistons can make the playoffs. Real quick, I do think they win tonight. I do think they get the dub tonight. But again, they'll be in eighth seed if they do make the playoffs. Now, we'll see. All right, folks, see you tomorrow. Be easy, people.